If we were reading or listening along in the book of Luke, we would know things that we might not know just by picking up Luke chapter 4. And that's that in Luke chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, the Holy Spirit is all over the place. The gospel writer for the book of Luke also wrote the book of Acts, so the Holy Spirit is very much a key mover in this gospel writer's life and wants us to pay attention to the Holy Spirit that stirs in Mary, that stirs in Elizabeth and Zechariah, that stirs even in John the Baptist inside his mother's womb. The Spirit that falls on Jesus at his baptism, the Spirit that leads him as he goes throughout the wilderness, and now the Holy Spirit that is upon him by Jesus' own words, the Spirit has appointed me and anointed me. Second, our text for today is Jesus' first sermon. And if we read in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, Mark puts this story later in Jesus' ministry, not at the beginning. And Jesus has a good reception in Nazareth in the book of Luke initially, but in Mark's gospel, he doesn't even open his mouth and he's already in trouble in Nazareth. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, Jesus can't do any miracles where he is in Nazareth during this story because of their lack of faith and their resistance. And we want to pay attention too that Luke calls to mind Elijah's great escape story and also Paul and Peter's escape stories. In this particular gospel, Jesus has a near miss, a narrow escape from those who would throw him off of a cliff. This is the only gospel writer that tells us that story. As we get ready to read this morning, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you have called us into this place today, you have called your church to hold and live and proclaim your word. So today we pray that you would guide us as we listen, as we speak, but most importantly, as we seek to embody and live out the gospel. So give us courage to follow Jesus. Give us courage to explore ourselves and our world. Give us courage to love you and our neighbor. Give us courage to hear the good news. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Then he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Now the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Now all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So the results of Jesus' first sermon gives every new preacher hope. Most of us would say, most Americans would say, there is nothing more terrifying than public speaking. Statistically, Americans put it above their fear of flying and dying and bugs. And this is Jesus' first sermon. Do you remember the first time you had to give a speech? You remember the first time you had to make a presentation, or someone in your family asked you to be the one to pray or lead a lesson? It can be terrifying. I will never, ever forget my first sermon. I was in British Columbia, and the council room was off of the worship space, and my knees were shaking. I was terrified. And we were on the other side of a door, and I wanted to be on the other side of it. And we walked in after praying together, and as soon as we walked in, the congregation stood. And I said, "Why are they standing?" And they said, "Because the pastor's here." And I said, "Where is he or she? Because I could really use one right now." "No, they're talking about you." It's a good thing their need was greater than my talent or giftedness, because that was terrifying. And then you get to the point where, as a young preacher, you get invited to your hometown to preach, and that's a whole nother level of terror. Because out in the assembly, there are the grade school teachers, there are the high school teachers, there are the two women you used to date. I wasn't expecting that. Consecutively, not at the same time. And it's a whole new experience in terror. And you have all of these inner voices saying, "Who do you think you are, and why are you doing this? It's crazy." In today's text, Jesus gets the hometown invite to preach his first hometown sermon in his home church. And word about him is spreading everywhere. It's on Facebook and Instagram. It's gone viral, and everybody is talking about Joey's son. Joe is probably long gone by now, but he probably had a good reputation. And Joe and Mary's son is coming home to do what we hold up high in community. He's coming to speak a word, and they're excited. They give him the benefit of every doubt. They remember him as a boy when he was playful, and maybe they remember some of the jokes that he played, and maybe they remember his gifts. I don't know what they expected that day, because their initial reception was very, very good. "Jesus, you read one of our favorite texts, and you are off to a great start. We love that text." And they knew that the Messiah was coming, the Messiah who would bring a jubilee, a year of liberation, an era of freedom where hostages would be freed and prisoners would be released, and whatever blindness was there would be unmasked, so that instead of a season of darkness, it would be a season of light. And this is all good and familiar stuff, and it's safe and it's sound and it's excellent. But the text that comes from a faraway place for the hometown crowd of Nazareth is coming from a prophet who had been to the wilderness. He had been to the desert. He had been to the wordless place where God seems to do God's best work by working of the Spirit. In our times of need, in our times of hunger, in our time of yearning, it's in those lean seasons that God seems to do God's greatest work in our lives, something none of us would choose, but that every prophet and messenger that God sent has got to know to be able to speak from that place. And this is what Jesus does. If we have been reading Luke's gospel, waiting for Jesus to say something, this is the first thing he says. And the first thing he says is the word today. It's the first word from Jesus in this gospel. Today. Maybe that's where the devotional gets its name. Today. Today is the day. Today is the day in which salvation is proclaimed and unleashed, and God's grace is made unbounded. Today is the day of freedom. Today is a day for all of those places in your life where you feel held or held back to experience a new kind of freedom, the freedom of the kingdom of God. The kingdom that comes for those who are poor and oppressed and sick and lowly and beaten down. And all of this is great news until Jesus does what every pastor does that gets him or her into trouble, and that gives an illustration. Pastors get in trouble for their illustrations, and it happens that way for Jesus too. Because the Nazareth crowd has a mental map of who Messiah is supposed to be, and he's supposed to be for us. This is supposed to be good news for us, and it is. But all of the illustrations are for people outside of our horizon. And that's what gets Jesus in hot water and makes the crowd into a froth so they want to throw him off of a cliff. So even as we ponder these words about prisoners being freed and hostages released and blindness being cured, I think the invitation for us today is for us to start asking ourselves, in what ways is his message of freedom and release for me and for us? Because some of us have a host of inner experiences or past experiences or inner voices that are reminding us of something that we have done or something we have left undone. Something that has been done to us. Or perhaps we are held in our anger or someone else's anger. Or maybe we are held by bitterness and resentment by something that has happened to us, and we walk around feeling vulnerable. The Latin word for vulnerable is connected to wound. And so we walk around limping and wounded. And Jesus speaks a word about freedom. He doesn't give us new truths about God. He doesn't give us new knowledge or new insight. He comes with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has fallen on him, that possesses him, that empowers him, that says for him, And none of the other voices of what other people think or say or do matters, because I know who I am in my Father. And that gave him such a clarity that some even suggest that this sermon is an outline for the rest of the book of Luke and Acts, to say this is what it means to be haunted and filled by the Holy Spirit, to be a person, a son, a daughter, and a community that does this kind of thing. When Israel does not want to look at the poor and doesn't want to look at the foreign general or foreign king, foreign soldier, the attention and God's imagination in the kingdom is very much for those who are gathered, but also those who are outside of Israel's horizon, outside of the people that we see or want to see. The kingdom is that big. That's what got Jesus in trouble, because they looked at deliverance very differently than the kingdom that he was talking about. Do I need to talk faster before we lose power? I know I don't talk loud enough without a mic. Jesus' ministry, if we pay attention to it in the book of Luke, is one that pays attention to the poor and to the needy, to the people who are experiencing bondage, to the people who are weighted down by something they have done or something that has happened to them. It is as if Jesus is saying, you do not need to be a victim anymore, even though you may be a survivor. It's a powerful message. Today is the day. And Jesus will not be held back or limited because of what someone else may say or think, because he has received this anointing from the Holy Spirit. So since you have the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is in you and causing you to move and grow and pushing you and nudging you and calling you into wilderness and desert places, since you have that same Spirit, don't be surprised that when you start to grow or you start to change, that the people who used to know you best, your friends, your family, may not like it. They may not be comfortable with it, because they like the old version of you. And they've locked their minds around, this is who you are supposed to be. But they may say to you, what in the world is going on? You're not the same anymore. You used to be different. What would be best is if they would say, so what's gotten into you? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you who has gotten into me. And it's not something I would have ever chosen. A buddy of mine today is on day 4 of trying to quit smoking. And he said, Mark, I hate the Nicorette because I hate the Nicorette because when I take that, my stomach hurts. And I don't feel good on the patches. And I've been doing this for 30 years, but one of the hardest parts is all my old smoking buddies say, what do you think? You're better than all of us? What a challenge to resist those voices and those urges. That might be harder than giving up the smoking. Jesus is calling those who will hear into a new kind of freedom, so that we do not have to be enslaved any longer to ourselves or to someone else. And that freedom and that oppression is something that some of us are so accustomed to that we don't know any different. So salvation is not about life after death. It's not. Read the Gospels and read Paul. It is about life that begins today. And it's everlasting life today. And it begins today. It is not life after death. It's life instead of death. Eternal life begins today when you step into that freedom and you drink it in deeply. So you don't have to be afraid like the young woman sang and danced to today. You can be freed from your anger or somebody else's. You can be freed from your insecurity. You can be freed from the treadmill of somebody else's expectation. You can be freed from a lifetime of defensive responses that you and I probably put there because of something someone else said or did. Today is a day for unbinding because God's grace is unbound. It's a love that's revealed that's all about jubilee. It's about freedom. It's about receiving things back again that were lost, whether you're an insider or an outsider. And it's all about getting in line and following this one who boldly and courageously proclaims what the Spirit has been telling him. So when you have those moments of the Spirit's prompting where you feel like you have to have an opinion on everything, maybe the Spirit is trying to free you of that. Maybe the Spirit is trying to free you from sharing that with everybody else. Maybe the Spirit's trying to free everyone else too. Maybe the Spirit is calling you and I to say, you know what? Hearing Jesus' word about today, today is the day of salvation and deliverance. I am not going to wait until I'm retired or I have more time before I help my neighbor, because I've heard the message that it is today. Maybe I have been walking the other way to this person from church or in my life or at Meijer, and I know this person is lonely, but I've been trying to talk myself out of engaging that person because I don't have the time or the energy, but I realize that today, given what Jesus proclaims, today is the day of salvation, of freedom, for hostages to be released. Today is the day to practice deliberate generosity of words, time, and attention. Because I've listened to the Gospel of Luke and Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking more about Pentecost, and I'm realizing that what happens in the coffee shop around jokes around race and sex are out of line, because Pentecost has taught me that there is no male and female, there is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We are all one in Christ. And the tone of my conversations and the jokes and the dialogue that we have has got to change because I have heard the summons of the Spirit. Today is the day. So what does today look like for you as you hear this word from Jesus about prisoners being freed, about oppression being done? If you've heard it, put it into practice. Be that kind of person for someone else. Proclaim it out of your vulnerability, out of your own desert experience, and live it in ways that Jesus did. He saw the people that no one else wanted to see. He saw the people and looked at them and looked at them deeply and sought them out because of what he had experienced. This is the only gospel where you will get people who are the most public of sinners being called into the same kind of gospel experience as somebody as high-ranking as Zacchaeus. Luke 19 is the only place in our Bibles where we'll find the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus sought them both out, whether they were high or low, because this message of liberation and freedom was something for everyone. So if that's a message that's resonating deep in your bones and in your bloodstream this morning, receive it. Receive this text and this message. And if it's something that's old hat for you, that's part of who you are and who you're trying to be, then go be another version of Jesus who proclaims this same kind of message of freedom and release. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news of the gospel and let's live it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Move us, O God, from fear to faith. Thank you for the promises of this book, that in Christ you are doing another Exodus. Move us, we pray, of being slaves to fear, slaves to anger, slaves to expectation, slaves to guilt and remorse, to the freedom that comes wherever the Spirit is present. So give us, we pray, renewed boldness to be slaves no longer, but to be servants. Glad servants of you, the one whom we follow. So we pray that you would develop the themes of our lives. Add to them and edit to them. Splice in your grace to the stories that we tell ourselves and the stories we tell one another. That having been to the cross and to the empty tomb and having seen the Master at work in all of his graciousness, we might resemble him. So we pray for tenderness of heart, an openness of mind, an openness of life to not only receive from you, but to give and live and proclaim. Thank you that our names are safe in your mouth. Thank you for your word of grace to us and to a world in need. Help us to see these things in ourselves so we can see our neighbors in the light of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.